Dear friends in Jesus Christ, think about how you feel. Imagine being in a work situation. Think about how you feel if you have a good boss versus if you have a what you might call a bad boss. Or think about having, let's say for example, in our nation, compare with having a good president versus having a bad president. So when you have somebody good or somebody you think is good in charge of things, that can be a blessing. That can give us some additional peace. That can give us some additional happiness. That can give us some additional confidence. Well, why do I say that up front? I say that because it ties in with the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about the world that we live in today, we find ourselves in quite a mess in our nation and in the world. But let's know, though, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has completed his work. Jesus has ascended into heaven. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And Jesus right now is reigning for the good of those who trust in him. That's what the Bible teaches. So even if we can't always see such realities, let us know God has told us in his word, we can be certain every one of those things is true. What I want to do for this Ascension Day 2022, I want to explain something that I drew for the children in our child care center last year to try to help them understand about ascension. So this is a drawing I made for them. You can find it there on page 4 in your service folder. So I'm going to try to go through and explain what that drawing means, and I'm hoping you'll be able to see how Jesus' ascension is completing an important circle that he makes. So as I mention what I'm going to mention, try to keep an eye on the diagram and see if you can follow where I'm at and see if it makes sense in that way. Let's start off with the Holy Trinity. So you can see up in the top left-hand corner, we're dealing there with the Holy Trinity. So when we think about that, there is only one God, but we know there are three distinct persons. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We know that the triune God, the three persons, they worked together to create all things, and they have worked together for our salvation. That's a little bit that could be said about the Holy Trinity. And then, coming to what we might call the fullness of time, as we think about what it says over in Galatians chapter 4. So in the fullness of time, what happened? God the Father in heaven, maybe he kind of tapped God the Son on the shoulder and said, "Son, now is the time. Go down to earth." So he came down to earth, and what happened? That's right at the moment when Gabriel spoke to Mary. Mary said yes to being the bearer of the Christ child, and then immediately the Son of God put on flesh inside of Mary by the work of the Holy Spirit. Can you see that in the diagram? See the line coming down the left side, and now we're at Mary, and now there's a little tiny boy in her belly. Can you see that there? Okay. So we come to the time of Christmas. So after 9 months, we come to Christmas. So we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then after he was born, he was laid in a manger. And then we have a number 8 there. What is that for? We know that on the 8th day, that is when he was circumcised. That is when he was named Jesus. And then we come already to his baptism. So we're going from the time he was 8 days old, and we're jumping ahead all those years to his baptism. Now, some people struggle with this on baptism, and they're like, wait a minute, why is he being baptized when he was so old? Let's keep in mind that baptism was only put in place about 6 months before Jesus was actually baptized. So no one in the world had been baptized up until 6 months prior to him being baptized. God sent John the Baptizer to begin to baptize, and when he did, no one in the world had yet been baptized. So it was a new thing. So that's why Jesus was so much older when that happened. When we think about his baptism, what do we have between his birth and his baptism? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us much. We know he grew up in Nazareth. We know about that little incident when he was 12 years old and he was found in the temple. But then already we jump all the way to his baptism. So thinking about John the Baptizer, we know that his very ministry, it was prophesied by Isaiah. Think about the great importance of John the Baptizer, that God would have moved Isaiah 700 years before John was born to write about this man who would come and who would prepare the way for the Christ. That's John the Baptizer. So he was 6 months older than Jesus. He was a relative of Jesus, and he baptized at the Jordan River. And then we come to the baptism itself of Jesus. So we have this great divine clarification taking place. So Jesus was baptized by John. And then right after that, what does the Bible tell us? He stepped out of the river. Now he's on the bank of the river. And what happened? God the Father in heaven, he anointed his Son with the Holy Spirit. So we have the Son of God standing there. We have God the Father doing the anointing, and he's doing the anointing with the oil of joy. He's doing the anointing with the Holy Spirit. So we have all three persons of the Holy Trinity present there at the same time. It's one of those rare, important occasions that we have. And then what happened right after that? Then God the Father spoke from heaven talking about Jesus, and he said, "This is my beloved Son." So everyone in the world should so clearly know who Jesus is. Think about how monumental this is. God had promised to Adam and Eve over 4,000 years earlier, and now finally, here he is on the scene, and God the Father is announcing himself, "This is the one. Have no doubt about it. This is my Son. He is the one promised to Adam and Eve. He is the one I mentioned to Abraham. He's the one who's popped up throughout the Old Testament time. And now he is here in flesh and blood to take away the sin of the world." It was such a huge thing. And then what we think about Jesus' ministry. So with his ministry, he certainly did much teaching and he performed many miracles. Because of all of that, every single person back at that time, they should have understood, oh my goodness, this is the promised one. This is the one God spoke of. We can tell because his teaching has authority like nobody else. His miracles are so unbelievable. Only by the power of God could these miracles ever take place. So what happened? More and more people did follow Jesus. However, though, the religious leaders became more and more hateful of Jesus and more determined to put him to death. And then we come already to Good Friday. So Good Friday, we know in perfect obedience to God the Father, Jesus received all the sins of the entire world. He received all of the eternal punishment upon himself. And then when his saving work was finished, he declared it to be finished. He said it is finished. And then he laid down his life. And then we come to Holy Saturday. So when we think about Holy Saturday, we have to think about creation for a moment. We know that God created in 6 days, so he started creating on Sunday. So he created Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then what did God do on Saturday? He rested. We have Jesus taking away the sin of the entire world on Friday. What did he do on Saturday? He rested. And then we come to Easter Sunday. So Jesus had promised that God the Father would raise him on the third day. So we're not talking about 72 hours, but we are talking about part of Friday, all of Saturday, part of Sunday. So Sunday was the third day. So because God the Father raised him, what should we know? We should know that the Father accepted his payment to take away our sins. God the Father was saying, I want everyone to know that all of the teachings of Jesus are true. You can fully rely on every one of them. And God the Father was also saying to us, hey, don't worry. Have no fear of death, because death is only a way to get transferred from earth to heaven. But a time is coming when Jesus comes back, and then we're going to be raised to life. So all these important things are true because of the resurrection. And then we come to that period of 40 days. So from Easter Sunday to the day of Ascension, that's a 40-day period of time. What was Jesus doing? He was appearing to many and various people saying, hey guys, you thought I was dead, but here I am. I'm alive, just like I said. So that went on during that 40-day period of time. And then on that 40th day, the Bible tells us that a cloud received him out of their sight. So try to imagine we have Jesus' disciples, and he is ascending up and up and up, and finally there's a cloud there, and he kind of goes up into the cloud, and they can no longer see him. You can see the cloud if you look there at the image. So what happened after that? Do we know what happened after that? He kind of just disappeared into the cloud, and that's it. Well, what we see over in the book of Daniel, God gave Daniel a vision so that Daniel, and so people like you and me, we could understand what happened on the other side of the cloud. So I'm going to read a section now here from Daniel chapter 7. The Bible says, behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. So now, instead of having the perspective of seeing him go, now we have the perspective of being like in heaven, and now here he is coming. So we have that perspective. So behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations of men, and every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. I hope you can take a look at the image and you can see what I mean by the circle. So you see the Son of Man being sent by the Father down to earth. He goes through all the different things that he does in order to live for us and to take away the sin of the world. And then what happens? Then he ascends right back up to his place in heaven. But now, though, he is both God and man forever and ever. And now he is reigning over all things until the end of the world. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells us that once he has put all of his enemies under his feet, then that will be the end of the world, and then he will take the reign and rule of all things and give it back over to God the Father. But for now, though, Jesus is reigning. That should give us peace and joy. Let me conclude like this today, something that is true. The Son of God came and finished his work. Let's rejoice in that. He did a work that none of us could ever do. But yet God loves us so much, God so much wanted us to be with him, that there was only one way to get the work done, and that was to send his only Son to do that work on our behalf, and that is what he did. Something relevant? Jesus did his work for our eternal benefit. Again, we were helpless to be able to do it. He came and he did it for us. It's a very personal, beneficial thing. Nothing could be more important in the entire world. And then something inspiring, Jesus is now reigning over all things for the benefit of all who are trusting in him. So for those who are rejecting him, it doesn't mean that their lives are going to be difficult, but the focus of our Lord Jesus Christ is on us who are trusting in him. Sometimes life is easy, and that's a blessing from our Lord Jesus Christ. Other times, God can be disciplining us. God can be drawing us close to Him. God can be using us as a powerful example to others. So there's all kinds of things that God is working within our lives, but God wants us to understand that He is in control, He has a plan, He's going to be with us, and He's going to finally bring us through all the way to heaven, and it's going to be an awesome, awesome eternity. We are so blessed in our ascended and reigning Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, even though we are knee-deep in evil and corruption in this fallen world, we have peace because of your victory over the forces of evil. We have peace because of your current reign over all things, and we have peace because of your promise of eternal life. We thank you for such great blessings, and we pray in your holy name. Amen.